until until just we'll go for now until the top of page 20.
Until the top of page 20.
Upastasya vishya ananda iti is the last one. That's what we're going to do right now. We might do more. Let's do this part.
Shrotrasya
Vishayaha
Vishayaha
Shabdagrahanam Vachaha
Twachaha Vishayaha
Sparshagrahanam
Sparshagrahanam
Chakshushaha
Chakshushaha
Vishayaha
Vishayaha
Rupagrahanam
Rasanayah
Vishayah
Rasagrahanam Granasya Vishayah
Gandhagrahanam
Iti
We'll stop here and then we'll do this one. Okay. We'll do this first and then we'll do that one. It's probably better. Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, if you're on page 15 where he just gives us a list of the Pancha Jnani Indriyas, the five sense organs. And the list is Shrotram.
Shrotram.
What does it mean? Shrotram means hearing, right? Sense of hearing. Twak.
Twak.
Sense of touch. Chakshu.
Chakshu.
The eyes. Rasana.
Rasana.
Sense of taste. Granam.
Granam.
Sense of smell. And iti, panchajnani, indriyani. These are the five sense organs. You want to know shrotram, twak, chakshu. Rasana, granam. Sometimes they use different synonyms for these, but these are common. Shrotam, twak, chakshu, rasana, granam. Then we went through what are the devatas for each one, okay, for each one of the sense organs, and now we're on the vishaya. Now this word vishaya, it's a really important word and has some very different meanings. The vishaya of a sense organ is its scope, its range. Like, for instance, the sense of hearing will have a completely different scope or range than sense of sight. Right? So what is the vishaya for shrotra, for the sense of hearing? So shrotrasya, repeat after me, shrotrasya vishayaha shabda grahanam shabda grahanam. Grahanam means, as Swamiji says in his book, grahanam, that comes from the root grahanam, it means to grasp, or to get, or to receive. And so in this text, what have they translated in this text? They just say the cognition of sound, but it is actually that which is receiving the sound. So the ears are able to receive. They're the receivers of shabda. Shabda is sound or words. So shabda, actually the word shabda can mean either sound or a meaningful word, right? So here, shrotrasya vishayaha. The vishaya, the range, the scope for the sense of hearing what is its scope? What does it do? What is its vishaya, its range? Its range has to do with sound, the ears are receiving sound. They're not receiving sight. They're not receiving rupa. They're not receiving taste. They're not receiving smell. The ears, the scope, the range of the ears is only for the reception of sound. So that's its vishaya. It's range. Do you see? So shrotrasya vishayaha shabda grahanam. The ears, the sense of hearing, the vishaya, the subject, or the range or the scope for hearing is sound. Okay, and it's a receiver. It's one who's receiving sound. So it will be receiving sounds, not anything else. The next one, twak or twachaha, vishayaha sparsha grahanam. Iti Tvachaha Vishayaha Sparsha Grahanam. Tvachaha from Tvak is the genitive singular, right? So on the Vishaya, that range or scope of the sense of touch, is Sparsha. Sparsha means touch, right? So if I touch my arm, then because of the sense of touch, I feel it. Because of this sense organ, I feel that. If that wasn't operational, I would touch my arm, but the sense of touch would not be operating. Like somebody who's paraplegic, I've given that example of my friend. He could touch his leg, but he would feel nothing because the sense of touch was not operational. So if your sense of touch is working, if somebody feels you, you feel touched, you feel that. The impression of touch. So tvachaha vishayaha, the range of the sense of touch, is really sparsha, touch. Okay. We have used the same word. Okay. Next one, chakshushaha vishayaha, rupa grahanam. I want you to repeat because I want you to remember these words. This little exercise again. Chakshushaha vishayaha rupa grahanam.
Rupa grahanam.
So the range, the scope, the sphere of the eyes, rupa grahanam is the perception, the receiving of rupa, form. Form stands often, you say color. Sometimes instead of form, we say color because the sense of touch can feel the form, right? But they can't see the color. So color is even more specific. But often we just did in the Vedanta, we just say rupa, form. So the range of your eyes is really form, color. Rasanayaha.
Rasanayaha.
Vishayaha.
Vishayaha.
Rasagrahanam.
Rasagrahanam.
So the vishaya for rasana, rasana is feminine, rasana. So the vishaya for rasana, rasanayaha is in the genitive singular. So the vishaya, the scope, the range, for the sense of taste is rasa, you know, taste of things. So rasa, so the sense organs, the sense of the organs of touch, of taste, receive all of the various tastes that we get when we put things in our mouth. So rasanayaha vishaya rasagrahanam. So granasya vishaya gandagrahanam iti.
Gandagrahanam iti.
So the vishaya for grana, for smell, for the sense of smell, is ganda, scent. Gandagrahanam iti. All of these have exactly the same structure. You know that the range of this sense organ is the receiving of this particular sense object. So the sense organs perceive the sense object. So if you look down from the beginning, the sense object of shrotra, the ears, is shabda, right, is sound. The sense object for touch, the sense of touch, is sparsha. I'm just saying these are actually important words. These are vocabulary words. Like if you made a vocabulary list, these would be on your vocabulary list. The Vedantic vocabulary. Okay, so tvach, it's sparsha. For chakshushaha, for the eye, it's rupa, form or color. For rasana, for the sense of taste, it's rasa. Rasa is those things which we taste. Granasya, the range for the grana, for the sense of smell, is ganda. All different scents. Okay. Let's do this next one.
Vakani.
Padapayu.
Pasthaniti.
Panchakarmendriyani. But I did wrong there. I'll do it again.
No, you didn't. Upasthaniti.
Upasthani, I didn't say
that.
Upasthani.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Upas, it's upa.
Yeah. Upasthani.
Upasthani
iti panchakarmendriyani.
Panchakarmendriyani.
We'll go to the top of page 20. Because this is a section.
Vacho devata vannihi.
Vacho devata vannihi.
Hastayorindriyaha.
Hastayorindriyaha.
Indra. Hastayorindra, the devata.
Hastayorindraha.
Hastayorindraha.
Padayorvishnuhu.
Padayorvishnuhu.
Payormrityuhu.
Payormrityuhu.
Upasthasya prajapatihi.
Upasthasya prajapatihi.
Iti. Karmendriya devataha.
Karmendriya devataha.
Vacho vishayaha.
Vacho vishayaha.
Bhashanam.
Bhashanam.
Panayor vishayaha.
Panayor vishayaha.
Vastugrahanam.
Vastugrahanam.
Padayor vishayaha.
Padayor vishayaha.
Gamanam.
Gamanam.
Payor vishayaha.
Payor vishayaha.
Malatyagaha.
Malatyagaha.
Upasthasya.
Upasthasya.
Vishayaha.
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 Ananda iti.
Ananda iti.
Okay. So if we go back just a second to page 14 so we can remember where we are. The first part, we're talking about sukshma shariram kim. What is the sukshma sharira? And then in the definition of the sukshma sharira, it has all of these little compounds. And so we've been through the apanchikrita panchamahabhutaihi kritam. The sukshma sharira is made by the five subtle elements, which have not gone through this process of becoming fivefold. It is born of karma janyam, good karma. It is sukha dukkhadi bhoga sadhanam. It's the means for the experience of sukha, dukkha, and indifferent things. We did all that. Then we've now done the panchajnanendriyani. And in doing that, first of all, pancha means there's five jnanendriyas. So if you look just in the structure of this, the first thing they do is list the five organs of the five sense organs. That's the first thing. The second thing they do, and this is the pattern we're following, is list the devata of each one of those sense organs. And then the third thing they do is list the vishya, the range of each one of those sense organs, which is the sense objects. Or like, for instance, what can the ear do? Well, it can hear all the whole variety of sounds and words that are available. We have that availability because we have ears. If you don't have ears, you're not able to hear sounds, including words. So the vishya, then outlist the vishya for each one of those sense organs, the vishyas of the sense objects. Okay. So now we're going to do something very similar in reference to the five organs of action. So the first thing to do is list them. So let's see what they are. Vak, pani, pada, payu, upasthani, iti panchakarmendriyani. Vak,
pani, pada,
payu,
upasthani.
Sorry, I didn't know you were going to repeat it. I was kind of breaking out because I thought you didn't want to, since Sharada just did it, that you didn't like doing all this repetition, but I do kind of want you to do it. So I'll just repeat after me. Vak.
Vak.
Pani.
Pani.
Pada.
Pada.
Payu.
Payu.
Upasthani.
Upasthani.
Iti.
Iti.
Panchakarmendriyani.
Panchakarmendriyani.
So vak is the organ of speech, okay? Vak. Pani your hands. Pada, your feet. So speech, hands, feet, pada. Payu is the organ of excretion. Payu. And then upastha is the genitals, so the organs of for sexuality, for sex. So upastha, those are the five. So iti, these are the panchakarmas, the panchakarmindriyanis, the panchakarmindriyas, the five organs of action. So you need these just come rolling off the lips of the teachers, especially. You put them like that. Vak, pani, pada, payu, upastha. Panchakarmendriyanis, there's panchakarmendriyanis, and we have to know that's what they are. Vak, pani, pada, payu, upastha. Okay, so having listed them, now what is the devata of each one? Okay, so again, in listing the devatas, this immediately brings you into relationship with Ishvara, because the jiva upadi, right, is the jiva, I mean this body, mind, sense organs, is Ishvara in the sense that it is part of Ishvara. It's in no way separate. So there's an ishta devata for each sense organ and an ishta devata for its counterpart in as of Hiranyagarbha, or the counterpart within the creation. Like, for instance, the eyes and the sun. Sometimes especially in the Brihadaranyakas, especially wonderful for this Chandogya also, they give so many upasanas. And in these upasanas are often visualizations that often are a visualization and almost a imagining Ishvara in this form, where the eyes of Ishvara is the sun, the Surya is the eyes, the rains are the evacuation, you know, the earth is the feet, go like that. And so it'll go through all of these kind of sense, the sense organs are the equivalent sense organs are the equivalent organs of action for Ishvara in reference to the whole Ishvara Upadi. And so when you are hearing who the devata is, you can also imagine, most of them we know, like I didn't really understand the Ashwans, I'm still trying to contemplate on it and find exactly what that is, but most of them we do know. And then you're able to connect your sense of sight, for instance, with I would say the order of sight, or the law of sight, the sight devata. The devata is really Ishvara. Ishvara is a conscious being. Every part of Ishvara is a conscious being. So if you take every order as a devata, all of the different orders, what Swamiji said, there are infinite number of orders. You know, order means laws. So you can look at each law, which is handling so much, each law as a devata. And so there's Surya the sun, but then there's the Surya devata. And the Surya devata is going to be the devata for our equivalent as a jiva, our equivalent Surya. Like that. So it's nice to know them, nice to contemplate on them, nice to help you resolve this jiva and all of the laws of the creation. The jiva is contained within all of those laws, and to see those laws as aspects of Ishvara, as devata. So what are the devatas? Vak in the genitive singular, vachaha, devata. The devata for the sense of speech is vannihi. Vannihi is another word for fire. And so an explanation of this, Swamiji will talk about this, vannihi, that it's because fire illumines. Fire lights up, just as speech lights up. And you'll say, fire is also gives heat. But that's not the meaning here. That's not the aspect, because then you can know, okay, you can illumine things and you can also get very heated. But the idea is that the vani illumines, and so vani, the fire, is considered the devata for speech. Hastayoho, for the hands, genitive dual, hastayoho, indraha. Indra is the devata for the hands, because Indra represents strength. And so the hands, arm, and the hands, hasta also often includes the arms. The hands, the arms represent, are strong. So Hastayoho Indraha. So the Indra Devata is Devata of the hands. Padayoho Vishnuhu. Pada are the feet, the two feet, genitive dual. So Padayoho Vishnuhu. The Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, is the Devata of the feet because Vishnu is all pervasive. He goes everywhere. Right? How do you go? You go by your feet. But Bhagavan goes everywhere. In fact, in the Vamana Devata, he told this one king, Bali. Bali was a king. He had a big heart. He was good, but he was also an asura. So he's also very egoistic, you know. He got out of control. Bali became a little out of control as a king. And so Vishnu appeared before him as a little Vamana. A Vamana is a little dwarf. And he was able to appear before Bali and asked for just one boon. And Bali, being the big-hearted, generous king that he was, of course, you can have one boon. Tell me what it is. I'll give to you. He said, I want to take I just want 3 steps of land. Just let me have 3 steps. It is given. Only 3 steps? Yes, you can have those 3 steps. So, Vamana, the Vishnu dwarf, you know, he was so happy to receive that. So he took his first step, which covered the whole earth. The second step covered all of the heavens. And the third step went right on his head, on Vamana's head, and covered the jiva, smashed the jiva. So that's the story. So the three, when you think of Vishnu, the story of Vamana, the Vishnu avatara in the form of this little dwarf in order to bring in Bali. The good king, but the tyrant king, the good tyrant, the good king, who also had a lot of issues. He also had a huge ego, and he was collecting way too much stuff for himself at the expense of everybody else. So Vishnu had to come and take care of that, so he came as a dwarf, you know, and asked for only 3 steps. 3 step cover the whole. You can look this up on somewhere, because I've told the story. I don't even know how accurate the story is. It's accurate enough that to recognize the story. So, Padayoho Vishnuhu. Vishnu is the devata for the feet. Payoho Mrityuhu. Payu is the excretory organs. Mrityu is Lord Death. Sometimes we think of Lord Death. Like Swami Jyotkamsa sometimes joke, you know, what if Lord Death was not there? These bodies would pile up and pile up. What would we do with them all? What would we do with all the people? You know, it would be so crowded. It would be so crowded. And Bhagavan has to put an end to it and then take these bodies all away. You know? Like that. What if this is not my fault, okay? This is not my story, but it's really funny. Okay, what if you just kept eating? Eating, eating, eating. And there was no payu. You would get so full. What would you do? It has to be eliminated. You know? It has to be cleansed. You have to be able to let it all go. So it has to go out. You know? And it's the same with the creation. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. It has to cleanse itself. It has to clean itself out so that all of the beings, the earth itself, can survive. You know? So payu. So mrityu, Lord Death, is the devata for payu, for the excretion. Upastasya prajapatihi, for the genitalia, prajapati. Prajapati is the devata. Prajapati is the creator. Right? And so he is the one responsible for all procreation, so he is the devata of upasta. Iti karmendriya devataha. So these are the devatas. All just making you, connecting you with Ishwara. Okay. Then the idea, what is the vishya, the sphere, the activity, what is the activity or the sphere of these karmendriyas? So it says, repeat after me, Vacho Vishayo Bhashanam.
Vacho Vishayo Bhashanam.
If I break this into Vachaha.
Vashana.
Vishayaha.
Vishayaha.
Bhashanam.
Bhashanam.
So you often see the visarga, these two dots, or the H with the dot under it as an O, because of sandhi rules. So here, from vak, vachaha, is in the genitive singular. The vishya, the sphere, you know, of activity, because these are karmendriyas. So the sphere of activity is, for speech, is bhashanam, speaking. Because you have this organ of speech, what does it do? It speaks. The bhashanam is that it speaks, it's speaking. Okay, so it's organ of speech, speaks. Next one. Panayor vishayo.
Panayor vishayo.
Vastu grahanam.
Vastu grahanam.
Sandhi. Panayoho.
Panayoho.
Vishayaha.
Vishayaha.
Vastu grahanam.
Vastu grahanam.
Here you're seeing in Panayoho that visarga. Okay. Everybody know what the visarga is? Okay. It's either the two dots in Sanskrit. If you look at Sanskrit, they're all sandhied away. There's two dots. I found one at the bottom of the page where it says Payu Vishayo Malatyagaha. See those two dots? Vertical at the very end. Those two dots? Those two dots are called visarga. And if you look at the transliteration, that last H that has a dot under it, that's the transliteration. Do you see the very last in the transliteration, the very last H there with a dot under it? That's the transliteration for the visarga. What the visarga does is aspirate the final vowel. Like if I have the word Rama, and at the end of the word Rama is a visarga, then it'll aspirate the Ramaha. Now what if it's Hari? Harihi. Yeah? Guruhu. Ramaihi. In that instance, that aspiration just takes the last letter anyway, never mind. Ramaihi. Ramehe. Like that. And so that's called a visarga. Very, very common. Because it's actually a declensional ending when you're learning all of the nominative and accusative, all of the different endings that go into the words in Sanskrit. There's a lot of them have a visarga. And so the visarga, often you see it because of sandhi rules as an O. So like for instance, the one we just did, Vacho Vishayaha Bhashanam, right? Vachaha Vishayaha Bhashanam. There's a reason that visarga goes to O. It's called the sandhi rule. Then look at the next one we're just doing. Panayor. That's Panayoho. So sometimes, because of the letters before and after, the visarga will go to a repha, to the letter R. And then there's another one. Vishayaha goes to O. Vishayo. So that's why you have to know the sandhi rules. If you don't know the sandhi rules, then all of these letters are changing and you don't know what's going on, you know? Is it a different word or what is it? So you have to learn the sandhi rules that bring about these changes. So here, Panayoho Vishayaha, the sphere of Pani, the hands, right, are vastus. A vastu is a thing. Anything, any object is a vastu. Remember earlier we were talking about what a vastu is? In Maya, in all this world within the time and space creation, a vastu is any given thing. It's like this thing, this thing, this thing. I could say this vastu, this vastu, this vastu, this vastu, this vastu. Anything is a vastu. So an object, you can say. If you analyze these objects, then they just become conglomerates. There's no really thing there. It's just a conglomerate of many things put together in an organized way, and we have a name for it. Like a car, for instance, many things put together, we give one name for it, car. Okay. So the real vastu in the end is only Brahman, but within samsara, within duality, a vastu is an object. So Panayoho, Vishayaha, the range or the sphere of the hands, are objects. We grasp things. The hands are meant to grasp and to hang on or to hold things or to drop things or whatever you can do with your hands, you know, in reference to any kind of object. That is the sphere of the hands. Then padayor vishayo gamanam. Say padayor vishayo gamanam. Padayoho vishayaha gamanam. The vishaya of the pada of the 2 feet is gamanam, is going, is moving. Gamanam comes from the root gum, to go. So going, moving, the going, walking, running, any type of going is the vishaya of pada yoho, is a genitive dual of the feet, the 2 feet, okay? Then, payor vishayo malatyagaha.
Payor vishayo malatyagaha.
So, payor, payoho vishayoho malatyagaha.
Payoho vishayoho malatyagaha.
The vishaya, the range, the sphere of the organs of excretion are malatyagaha. Tyagaha means to renounce, to give up. Tyaga, to renounce, to give up, to abandon. The giving up of mala, impurities. Mala is just also, it's a word for dirt. Any type of impurity. So when whatever we're giving out, whatever we're giving up through waste are the things the body needs, is done with. It is what does no longer belongs in the body. We have to excrete it. It has to go. So it's called a waste products. So mala is waste or impurities or dirt and that type of thing. So mala tyagaha, giving up, eliminating the mala. Last one. Upastasya vishaya ananda iti.
Vishaya ananda iti.
Upastasya vishayaha anandaha iti.
Upastasya vishayaha anandaha iti.
So now you see sometimes the visarga drops. Vishayaha becomes vishaya, anandaha becomes ananda. So this visarga goes through a lot of different iterations. It can drop, it can change to O, it can change to Repha, to Otter, it can also change to a sibilant. So the Visarga Sandhi is a little chapter in itself when you're learning all of these Sandhi rules. Okay, so here, what is the Vishya? What is like the sphere of activity for the genital organs? Ananda. So the all the sexual expression is for what really it resolves in ananda. It's very interesting too. It's like Bhagawan gave humanity this because it actually resolves everything into a state of oneness, of fullness, of completion. There's kind of a no duality there in the fulfillment of that sexual act. Any kind of duality or any kind of problems, they're just kind of eliminated for the time being, and then you get to have a good sleep at night. The two of you, you and your partner, kind of having gotten washed out all of the, all of the hard feelings or all of the worries or all of the tension. You're just eliminated by that. So it's great. That and deep sleep are great gifts from Bhagawan, you know. Okay, so now going back, we have to go through all of this, and it takes a little while. So, so now we've done the Pancha Jnana Indriyani, we've done the Pancha Karma Indriyani. Now we're going to do the Pancha Prana Adiyaha, the 5 pranas. Okay. You want to read those?
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing here.
Okay. Vayavaha.
Vayavaha.
Prana Apana.
Prana Apana.
Jnana Udana.
Jnana Udana.
Samanaha.
Samanaha.
So, let me see where I want you to go from here. I've got really tiny print in mine.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Because they added this for Vedanta Sutra, this part.
Did it?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh, I didn't read that, okay. Vedanta Sara is like a significantly detailed expansion of Tetrabodha. Vedanta Saras also goes through every terminology and explains every prakriya. It's a very detailed text, probably three or four times the size of Tetrabodha. So I didn't realize that was taken out. Okay, anyway, so this little addition. So can you start to read page 20 and 21 to the top of 22?
Pranaha,
nama,
nama,
prakamanavan,
prakamanavan, nasa grasthanavarti,
apanaha nama, apano nama,
apano nama.
Avagamanavan,
avagamanavan,
paivadisthanavarti,
jnano nama,
Vishvagamanavan, Akhila Sharira Varti,
Udano Nama,
Kanthasthaniya, Urdhvagamanavan,
Utkramanavayuhu,
Samano Nama,
Shariramadhyagataha,
Ashitapita, Anadi,
Samikaranakaraha.
One more line.
Etat.
Pranadi panchakam. Akashadigata. Rajomshevyo.
Militebhya
Utpadyate.
Good, thanks. Yeah, I see it's following a slightly different pattern here. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Then we have to remember it comes from Vedanta Sara. That's why it's not quite in step with what we're doing. Vayava, prana, you know, means the vital force, but it's also called vayavaha, the winds. Mm-hmm. Vayu means wind. So prana sometimes you'll see referred to as vayavaha, the winds. So here, vayavaha instead of pranaha, vayavaha. Prana, apana, dhyana, Udana, Samana. I'm going to check something in a second. Okay. So, Vayava, the prana. Prana is the respiratory, the ingoing and outgoing breath. The prana is considered the outgoing breath, the exhalation. Apana, as part of prana, apana is the inhalation. But the word apana also means the downward, that which can push downward, especially for the excretion. So excretion of any waste, that apana is what really is that ability of the prana to push downward. Udana pushes upward. Okay, so we'll see both of these. So there was a time with Swamiji in the first several years for, he just did it like this. Prana, apana. Prana is the, you know, the exhale. Apana is the inhale. He just took apana is that inhale, and that it, and when you inhale, it actually comes down into, it's a downward motion. It comes in and down, fills the lungs, and then the prana comes up and out. Okay, so here, anyway, he would often, for several years, go prana is the in, is the exhale, and then apana is the inhale, and vyana is would be the circulatory system. Okay, we'll see why. Udana is that which is the periphrastic movement that pushes things up. You know, like if we're vomiting or anything like that, that which pushes things, is it periphrastic or peristaltic, I think it is. Did I use that word here? No, I'll see in a minute. That which pushes that force that pushes things up, and also udana is what ejects the soul at the time of death. So whatever pushes things up, and the ejection of the soul also is called udana. And then, what was the last one? Samana is the digestion. So we've got, but now what he does, and I think which is probably what most people do, prana stands for both prana and apana. When we're talking about the exhale is prana, pushing out is prana. The inhale, downward motion, is apana. He includes that apana with the prana, and then uses apana as that downward motion, which really it should be able to include both, that which pushes, brings the air in and pushes it down, but also what that which is responsible, the prana that's responsible for excretion, also down and out. Okay. So prana, apana, vyana, circulatory system, again, udana, the peristaltic movement, I think it's called. That's what moves the energy up and also ejects the soul, in samana, circulatory system. Okay. So then it says, second one, pranaha nama. Prano nama. Pranaha nama. Prak gamanavan. Nasagra.
Nasagra.
Stana.
Stana.
Varati.
Varati.
Pranaha nama. What we call nama. If you said, you know, the word prana. Or sometimes that nama, like is the name, the word prana. So I could say the word prana, or what we call prana, however you want to translate that, but the nama, prana. Prak gamanavan. Prak means to go forward, in this with gamana. Prak gamana, it's going forward well. It's moving well. So, but prak gamanavan, that's going, the going out. So the going forward, the breath is coming out, it is going forward, pushing forward. So the prana, what we call prana, prak gamana van. That van is the nominative singular of this vat affix. The vat affix shows possession. So prana is that which has this characteristic, prak gamana, the going forward. Okay. So prak, the prana has that, is that prak gamana van. And then it says, where is it? What's its stanum? Where is it existing? Where do you find the prak? Nasa means nose. Nasa agra means the tip of the nose. Okay, so nasa agra, the tip of the nose. Stana is the place. The place, its place, its stana, is the tip of the nose, because it's coming out of the nose. You know? And apana is going in through the nose, out through the nose, in through the nose. So this tip of the nose, these two nostrils, is its stana. Varti, it exists there. The prana is abiding there in it, in its place, which is the tip, at the tip of the nose. Nasa, agra. Everybody see it? Mm-hmm. Keep losing my place because it's so tiny. Nasa, agra, stana, varati. that prana, where is it located? It's located there. Where is its sthanam? Where is its place? It's at the tip of the nose. So vayavaha, prana, apana, vyana, udanaha, samanaha. We've just done prana. The next one, apano nama.
Apano nama.
Apanaha nama.
Apanaha nama.
Avak.
Avak.
Gamanavan.
Gamanavan.
Avag gamanavan.
Avag gamanavan.
Payu adi sthanavarti.
Payu adi sthanavarti.
So if I send you rule, if I bring the word payu together with adi, so the u turns into a va. So payu, we've got u plus a becomes va. So that's why you have this kind of strange thing, payu va. Payavadi sthanavarti is payu adi sthanavarti, if I break the sandhi. So apana nama, what we call apana, remember I said prana apana, the apana is the incoming breath, through that which goes downward. Avak means downward. So here, I say apana nama, what we call apana, the name, the word upana, the name upana, avak gamanavan. It has this gamana, but it possesses this is its capacity, its power. It goes downward. Apana is that energy that takes things downward. Payu adi, beginning such as, with adi you can say such as payu. Then you can say, you know, in the prana, the apana also has that energy of going downward. Payu has that energy, the excretory organs are enlivened by that prana that allows it to push downward out through the excretory organs. So that's the apana. And where is it located? Payu adi sthanavarti. It exists in the place of the excretory organ, payu, etc. Okay. Payu adi sthanam, its place, sthanam, sthanavarti. It is living there. It is staying there. That is its home. That is its sthanam. Where? The payu, the excretory organs, and where else? Well, you can say in the pana apana, which is located here in the nose. So you could say the apana is located here in terms of prana apana. Pulls down. It's located also in the excretory organs. You can say that because of the adi. Prayu adi. Really clear? Mm-hmm. So now we've got prana apana. Vyana. Vyano nama.
Vyano nama.
Vyanaha nama.
Vyanaha nama.
Vishwa gamanavan.
Vishwa gamanavan.
Akila sharira varti.
Akila sharira varti.
So vyanaha nama, the name vyana, the word vyana, what we call vyanaha. Vishwa means everywhere, in all places. Vishwa gamanavan, it goes everywhere. So the vyana is the circulatory system. So in reference to the body, the circulatory system is all pervasive. It goes in the sense that it has to, the circulatory system has to reach, be able to reach with its big arteries and veins, and then with the offshoots, and then with their little offshoots, kind of like tree branches. But all the way through the body so that everything, absolutely everything, receives the blood of the circulatory system. So it says vyanaha, the what we call vyana, the circulatory system, it is something which has the capacity by its nature, it goes throughout, it travels throughout the body. And then it says, where is its sthanam? Where is it located? Akila sharira varti. It is there through the akila sharira. Sharira's body, the entire body. Its home, its sthanam, where is it existing? Where is its sthanam? Where does it live? Where is it living? Throughout the entire body. The circulatory system goes through the whole body. And then what is keeping that circulatory system going is the vyana. You have all of the veins and arteries there, but the blood is rushing through. That is the prana. A dead body, when the prana is left, those arteries and blood is there, but they're not moving. right? The prana is what enlivens it and keeps it flowing. Okay. So vyano nama vishwa gamanavan akila, whole, entire, this word akila. Akila sharira, the entire sharira. It's stanam. So akila sharira varti, it's existing in the whole. Does it say stanam here? Akila sharira varti, it's existing. It abides in the entire body, throughout the entire body. So you'd have to say that entire body is its stanam, is its place. Five more minutes. You're all being so good. Very good, okay. I feel exactly the same way. But we have to grind through this because it'll be meaningful. You have to learn it, but then it becomes useful, very useful. So you'll see why later. Okay. Useful, but you know, when I start teaching at home and everything, Edward's always in the class. So he's heard all these things in different ways many times over the last 20 or 30 years. So every time I get into the Panchikarana, the becoming fivefold and how the universe comes into manifestation and now the jiva and all of that and all the prana and all of these things. You know, as soon as it starts, he goes, oh no. Do we have to do that? He's serious. Do we have to do that? Do we have to go through all of that? We do. Let's do this one more. Udano nama.
Udano nama.
Kantastaniyaha.
Kantastaniyaha.
Urdhva gamanavan.
Urdhva gamanavan.
Utkramana vayuhu.
Utkramana vayuhu.
Udanaha nama. What we call udana, kantastaniyaha, it is being placed in the kanta, in the throat. Kantastaniyaha, it is located there in the throat. Urdhva gamanavan, its power, what it has is this going capacity to go up. It goes upward. Utkramana vayuhu. So that utkramana vayuhu, it goes upward for such things, as I said, as vomiting or things within our system that push upward instead of downward. Because the body, actually, if you think of it, the body has to circulate. It's not, and the blood has to circulate. It has to go up and down and all around. So what is that capacity that will allow it to go up? Or allow for regurgitation and all of these type of things. And allow for the subtle body to eject, to be pushed out of this physical body at the time of death. What allows for that? That is a kind of strong. And what if you didn't have it? What if that capacity wasn't there? The physical body dies, but the jiva doesn't, the sukshma sharira has no capacity to eject. So the sukshma sharira has to eject, it has to leave the body, and that is what we call the udana, as well as the peristaltic movements that we have. So udana, which has its, it's located there in the kanta, in the throat, urdhva gamanavan, it has the capacity of going upward, it is called the utkramana vayuhu. Here it says, for the, it's a technical term, utkramana vayuhu. The utkramana means going up and out. Ut means up. Kramana, the systematically moving upward and out. Utkramana vayuhu. The prana that causes utkramana. This is the function that ejects the prana. The prana. All of the, it ejects the entire prana. All of the five pranas. Sukshma sharira. The sukshma sharira. Goes out, all of the pranas. Are ejected out at the time of death. Okay, we can stake one minute extra. Let's do this last one because it's our last one. Samano nama.
Samano nama.
Shariram adhyagataha.
Shariram adhyagataha.
Ashita pita.
Ashita pita.
Anadi.
Anadi.
Samikaranam karaha.
Samikaranam karaha.
So, samanaha. There's a lot of those little guys. little tiny, these little tiny worms.
Yeah.
And if you look closely, they're very beautiful. Mm. You have to get down and really look at them. They're almost multicolored. You don't realize that when you're looking at a distance. Mm-hmm. They're pretty. So, samana nama. What we call samana, this last of the pranas, this samana means, digestion. Or all of this food comes in. It takes a lot of work to mix all of that up and digest it. So the prana that is responsible for digestion is called samana. So it says, shariram madhya gataha. It is abiding there in the middle of the body. Madhya is in the center, in the middle of the body. Sharira madhya gataha. It is sharira, so body, madhya in the middle, gataha, it is placed there, it is situated there in the middle of the body in your stomach. Your stomach, intestines, all of that is where digestion takes place. And then it says ashita pita, that which has been eaten, ashita pita, that which has been, you know, what we drink, ashita pita, anadi, samikaranam karaha, that which is responsible for the kara, the cause, for samikaranam, doing the mixing, making it all into one soup, so to speak, making it all into the same. So all of these different things come into the body, and then the digestion makes it into, like putting it in a Cuisinart. Who's got Cuisinart? Putting it in a mixer. Everything becomes mixed, samana, all becomes the same. So it becomes totally mixed up. So it's that's what is responsible for the mixing of food, et cetera, such as that which you've had to, what you've eaten and those things that you've had to drink. Where is it located? It's located right there in the center of the body, your stomach and your digestive tract. And it is called samana. So these are the five pranas.
Sama
is making the same. So, and then when you take this word sama, you got a long e in replace of the a and a form of kre, making that. Right? We had that. And samabu becoming that. Right? Yeah. So it can be any form of kre. Karana. You know, karoti. It can be any form of kre. So making sama. Making it all the same, making it all equal, like into one same soup, so to speak. Mm. So here they are. Repeat after me. Prana.
Apana.
Dhyana.
Dhyana.
Udana.
Udana.
Samanaha.
Samanaha.
Okay. These are the five pranas, the five vayavaha. Vayavaha is the nominative plural of vayu. So these are the five vayus, the five pranas. Okay. Good. All right. We did it. Okay. Let's go. Just so you know, all of these terms are going to come back, and we'll be using all of them when we talk about the order in which the creation comes into manifestation, you know, from the unmanifest to the manifest, including Hiranyagarbha, the whole Bhirat, the whole Ishwara, as well as the Jivas. All of these terms will come back. And then we have to learn the sattva rajas tamas, the sattva rajas tamas aspect of each one of the five elements. And each one of these, the sattva rajas tamas aspect of the five elements will account for, like the pranas and the karmendriyas and the pranin and the jnanendriyas. All these things are coming back. So, it's a little.